Quick disclaimer, information in this podcast is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to be treated as medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making changes to your diet, lifestyle, supplementation, or medication.
When it comes to your diabetes management and health, do you find breakfast one of the most challenging meals? You're not alone, and by the end of this episode, you'll find new inspiration and motivation for a delicious, nutritious breakfast every day.
Welcome to Type 2 Diabetes Talk, the place where we chat about what really works to treat type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes naturally with nutrition and lifestyle. If you're looking to optimize blood sugar and A1C, lose weight, reduce medications, and improve your overall health, this is the place to be. Now, here's your host, type 2 diabetes nutrition specialist, Dr. Jetta.
Hello there, and thanks for joining me today. We've just come out of Medication March, which was jam-packed with information to help educate and inform you about medications in relation to diabetes, and also to give you hope that you may be able to reduce or stop your medications. And most importantly, always ask questions. And once you achieve an A1C of 7%, start the de-prescribing conversation with your doctor. I will be doing follow-up episodes on meds and medication alternatives, so if you'd like to contribute a question or topic, please head over to type2diabetestalk.com and leave me a voice message or submit your questions so we can continue this important conversation. Cynthia, Nancy, Mark, and Paul have all submitted the subject of today's chat, which is all about breakfast. When it comes to regulating blood sugar, we often hear that knowing what to eat for breakfast is a challenge. What kind of healthy breakfast should you be eating? Are foods like whole grain bread, whole grain cereal, or scrambled eggs the best breakfast to have? What type of quick and filling breakfast can you grab and go? We're going to cover all that today. We're going to cover three important things. We'll recap your diabetes management goals and provide some breakfast comparisons. We'll chat about diabetes-friendly breakfast foods, the no and yes options, and most importantly, we'll go over lots of breakfast ideas to inspire your breakfast menu. After our chat today, head down to type2diabetestalk.com where I'll leave a few delicious breakfast recipes for you to try as well. The first thing we need to go over is a recap on your diabetes management goals. Your number one goal with diabetes is getting down to a blood glucose that's in a healthy range and keeping it there. We covered ideal blood sugar levels back in episode 11. So ideally, that is under 140 milligrams per deciliter or 7.8 millimoles per liter 2 hours after meals. If you're testing 2 hours after breakfast and your blood sugar levels are higher, you can definitely work on what you eat for breakfast, which will help you lower your levels. Let's compare two different breakfasts. Breakfast number one is a traditional, common type of breakfast that many people might eat their entire life and think it's healthy. That's right, it's a breakfast that many people consider healthy: toast, cereal, and fruit juice. But let's look at the carbohydrate and fiber in this meal. Two regular pieces of whole grain toast is around 25 grams of carbs and 2.6 grams of fiber. One bowl or 1 cup of whole wheat cereal is 25 grams of carbs and 3.2 grams of fiber. And 1 glass of orange juice is around 26 grams of carbs and 0.5 grams of fiber. So if you are to eat this type of breakfast, you'll be eating around 76 grams of carbohydrates and 6.3 grams of fiber. Now, 76 grams of carbs is a lot of carbs for anyone to eat in one meal. And having a breakfast like this, you will likely find your blood sugar levels 2 hours after a meal are going to be well over the healthy range, over that 140 milligrams per deciliter, or 7.8 millimoles. And that's because of all those carbs. Remember, the nutrient that influences your blood sugar levels the most is carbohydrate. So the easy solution to get a better after-meal reading is to cut down on the carbs. For breakfast, the key recommendation is to eat real food that is protein-rich and lower in carbs. So let's look at a completely different breakfast that will help satisfy your appetite and keep your blood sugar stable. Breakfast number two is a protein-rich mixed veggie egg scramble. You can make this in any number of ways, but let's just say you throw in a mix of vegetables like onion, carrot, zucchini, and spinach, and you scramble up those with your eggs. Serve it in a bowl, then top with half an avocado and some tomato, and you have yourself a delicious, nutritious meal. Most importantly, this meal is blood sugar friendly. It amounts to around 22 grams of carbs and almost 12 grams of fiber. 12 grams of fiber is a really healthy dose of fiber, nearly twice as much as the bread and cereal breakfast we looked at earlier. With this egg-based breakfast meal, you will be consuming far less carbs, which will be much better for your blood sugar levels. You'll be eating around 10 grams of net carbs, which is the available carbohydrate once we subtract the fiber, which your body doesn't digest. You will also be consuming substantial calories. The difference, however, is the calories are all in the form of nutrient-dense ingredients that will provide you with more vitamins and minerals. And that means better health and better blood sugar. You'll be eating a protein-rich breakfast of around 23 grams of protein to keep your appetite satisfied for longer. Plus, as I said, you'll be eating almost twice as much fiber, so overall, that's a win-win-win for your blood sugar levels. So now that we're starting to open your mind about thinking differently about breakfast, with your goals in mind, of course, let's look closer at some no and yes breakfast foods. First, let's look at the types of breakfast foods you want to avoid or minimize. The glaringly obvious food to avoid is breakfast cereal. Breakfast cereal can really get you into trouble. Majority of options that line the supermarket shelves are jam-packed with carbs and added sugars. There's just not much going on there in terms of valuable nutrition at all, and really, breakfast cereals are a poor choice of breakfast food, whether you're a person living with diabetes or not. Sure, cereals like shredded wheat and steel-cut oats are certainly better than some other popular breakfast cereals such as Cocoa Crispy Rice Cereal, Cocoa Pops, Fruit Loops, or Cheerios. But even then, you really need to be aware of portion sizes and the amount of carbs you can easily overconsume. For example, oats are often recommended as a healthy breakfast food. After all, they contain protein and fiber, and that's healthy for us, or so we're told. Well, yes, oats do contain fiber and protein. Half a cup of oats has around 4 grams of fiber and 6 grams of protein. But oats mostly contain carbohydrates. That same half a cup of oats is around 27 grams of carbs, which is a lot. And while some people can tolerate eating oats in the form of oatmeal or porridge, most people do better without oats due to their high carb content. And most people are surprised that cutting out oats gets them lower blood sugar numbers. Steel-cut oats are really no different. Oats are oats and contain high amounts of carbs. If you do choose to eat oats, keep it to a small portion only. Add a couple of tablespoons to a nut-based cereal. Just don't go overboard because it can be easy to do. Whole wheat products, whether it's bread or cereals, are mostly carbs, and they are generally high in carbs too. For instance, one slice of whole wheat bread contains around 13 grams of carbs. Just one slice can range up to 25 grams per slice, depending on the bread. And one small bowl of whole wheat cereal contains around 25 grams of carbs. You can see these foods can quickly clock up carbs, and overall these foods need to be avoided or at least minimized and portion controlled. Fruit juice is a big no-no. When you juice fruit, you are basically injecting your bloodstream with a fast fix of sugar, and that only leads to one thing: blood sugar spikes you do not need. Stay away from bagels. They are notoriously high in carbs and sugar, about 50 grams of carbs in one bagel. Can you believe that? That's just a crazy amount. Then there's donuts and other flour-based foods that are also high in carbs, so you really need to be careful with these types of foods. And overall, if you do choose to eat any of the foods I've just mentioned, make sure you eat small portions only and monitor your blood sugar levels closely to evaluate how they affect you.
It's time to leave all the noise and confusion behind and get proven, practical solutions that really work. Understand your diabetes and exactly what to eat to keep your blood sugar stable, lose weight, and reduce medications. All this and more is possible with Dr. Jetta's scientifically proven T2 diet program. Take charge of your diabetes health and join the program today. Visit type2diabetestalk.com/programs.
So the good news is there are so many great breakfast foods you can eat, and we want to start by building a protein-rich breakfast. Research shows us that getting sufficient protein at breakfast improves glucose variability. And what that means is that it keeps blood sugar levels more leveled out throughout the day. Protein helps to satisfy our appetite and reduce hunger. Protein has a much smaller impact on glucose and insulin compared with higher carb breakfasts. Protein helps us maintain muscle tissue as we age, which is important for metabolic function. Protein helps support more efficient weight loss or maintenance. And protein helps support the body's hormonal responses and cellular function. So there's lots of reasons to include a protein-rich breakfast. And there are a lot of quality protein sources we can eat at breakfast. The most obvious food that comes to mind is eggs, with one large egg providing around 6 grams of high-quality protein. Now, before you ask the question most people do, won't eating eggs raise my cholesterol and lead to heart disease? The answer is no. Eating eggs does not cause heart disease, and that includes eating the yolks. You don't have to stick to eating egg whites because the yolks are the most nutrient-dense part of the egg and contain valuable nutrition such as vitamin D and choline, and they are not bad for cholesterol or heart health. For detailed evidence on eggs, we covered the facts back in episode 13, so if you're interested to learn more, go back and listen to that episode. Moving on though, bacon and sausage are proteins that can be included for breakfast in moderation. These are protein-rich foods that won't influence blood sugar, but just remember, bacon and sausage are processed meats, so they are not as high a quality protein compared to other choices. Doesn't mean you can't eat them, just be mindful that they don't become an everyday food. Other protein-based foods can be included in breakfast, such as beef and chicken or tofu. I know that may sound strange, but there are many ways to eat these foods for breakfast, and I'll be sharing some examples of meals in just a moment. Dairy products are another good source of protein, so you can include foods like cream cheese, cottage cheese, and regular cheeses like cheddar or mozzarella. Most dairy products are all low in carbs and higher in protein and fats, all of which helps stabilize blood sugar. Milk and plain Greek yogurt are delicious breakfast ingredients too, which offer some protein. In terms of milk, you can choose either full cream or skim milk. Same goes for yogurt. Just stick to the plain yogurt options, as many others are loaded with sugars, flavors, and preservatives. Nuts and seeds make a great breakfast addition. They're high in fiber, protein, and healthy fats that can help sustain your energy all through the morning. You can also use protein powders such as whey protein or a plant-based protein powder and incorporate it into breakfast meals. So they are all protein-rich foods that can inspire an unlimited number of breakfast meals. Then you want to include vegetables. Again, this may sound strange, but we always encourage people to include vegetables at every meal, including breakfast. Once you know ways to incorporate them, you'll soon be surprised how much you really enjoy them. You can then include some slow carbs like beans and legumes, including baked beans if you stick to only around a quarter can, and also check brands as they can vary a lot in their ingredients, sugar and carb content. Last but not least, fresh fruit or frozen fruit adds a bit of sweetness to your breakfast, which can make it more pleasurable. So let's actually chat about putting these foods into delicious breakfast meals that will keep you satisfied and keep your blood sugar stable, help you lower your A1C, weight, and medications. Coming back to our most obvious and convenient source of protein, eggs. The great thing about eggs is there are lots of ways you can eat them. Hard boiled, scrambled, poached, and fried. Eggs can obviously be included in many different combinations as well. Omelets, for example, filled with different types of veggies, chopped chicken or diced ham, cottage cheese or crumbled feta, tomato and avocado. Scrambled eggs, and you can obviously fill these with veggies too, such as the mixed egg veggie scramble we talked about earlier. Or grate some zucchini and scramble it into the egg, sprinkle with feta or goat's cheese and fresh or dried herbs. Egg muffins are great because they can be made ahead and eaten hot or cold. Take your muffin pan and fill it with sliced mushrooms and chives or spinach and tomato, fill with beaten eggs and cook in a 400 Fahrenheit or 200 Celsius oven for about 20 to 25 minutes. Soft-boiled eggs are also delicious, and instead of dipping bread, you can use chicken strips or steamed asparagus for your yolk dippers. You can also pair boiled, fried, poached or scrambled eggs with some sausage. Or what about having a really hearty, protein-rich meal for breakfast by cooking up some meat patties, spinach, mushrooms and eggs? That's delicious. One of my favourite breakfasts is a ground meat stir fry topped with eggs. I'll take about a pound, 500 grams of ground chicken mince, a small head of broccoli chopped small, a diced onion, and a can of drained white beans like cannellini beans. And I'll fry them up into a stir-fry type meal with some sauce, usually a bone broth sauce. I keep this in a container and I eat it for most of the week. I fry up a couple of sunny eggs to put on top and dice up half an avocado, and I've got an incredibly delicious and satisfying meal that keeps me going all until lunch. My husband, he calls this my breakfast guck, but I love it. And actually, he does too like it, as he's made delicious omelets with the same mixture inside and finished that with grated cheddar cheese, and that's been delicious too. I also love eating nut-based cereals, ones I make myself with a range of different nuts, coconut and cinnamon, and top with milk, yogurt and berries, which makes a really fantastic breakfast. Which brings us to the topic of egg-free breakfast, and there's lots of those options there too. As I said, cereals made with nuts, seeds, coconut, and topped with berries are a great option. And inside our members' site, we've got lots of different cereal recipes, including granolas, different types of mueslis, oatmeal made with chia seeds, almond flour, and protein powder. We recommend making a batch of nut-based cereal and keeping it in a large jar, and then you can just pour your cereal bowl as usual, add some berries, milk and yogurt, and you're ready to go. Smoothies can be a really great option, but you want to steer clear of using lots of high sugar, high carb fruit like bananas or mangoes, and instead focus on using nutritious ingredients that support optimal blood sugar, like protein powder, unsweetened cocoa, avocado, milk, mixed berries, vanilla extract, nuts and seeds, that sort of thing. For example, you can make a mixed berry smoothie by blending mixed berries, vanilla protein powder, coconut, almond or cow's milk, vanilla extract, ground cinnamon, some chia seeds, and If you like it a bit sweeter, you can add some monk fruit or some stevia sweetener. What about cooking up some protein pancakes with protein powder, coconut or almond flour and eggs, and top with a berry syrup or a sugar-free maple syrup? What about some delicious berry muffins made with almond flour or some breakfast almond biscuits with a morning coffee? You can make your own version of baked beans made with green beans, bell pepper and tomatoes, or use some white beans or brown lentils. Or as I said earlier, baked beans from the can are fine too if you keep your portions to around a quarter of a can. Soups of any kind make a great breakfast, and I love eating leftovers for breakfast, which might sound weird again, but breakfast is just another meal of the day. Really, the options are endless. But the key to a diabetes-friendly breakfast is to base it around a protein-rich foundation, to keep those carbs low and to choose quality, nutrient-dense foods. If you can do that, you will have more energy, less hunger, and your blood sugar levels will be stable. And if you start incorporating these types of breakfasts I've talked about today, switching out some of the other foods you're eating, then you will soon see your A1C levels improving, weight starting to shift, and many other health benefits too. Be sure to head down to our website and we'll post a range of these breakfast ideas and some recipes too. If you're one of our members, log into the members site where you can search the recipe database for an amazing collection of breakfasts. And you can also access our Low Carb Breads Masterclass with cooking classes for about 30 different types of breads, flatbreads, buns, and more. And of course, we have a range of cereal recipes you can batch up and keep handy in your pantry. We'll post these resources alongside episode 19 in the members' library, so you can easily access them from there as well. So the thing is, breakfast can be normal with diabetes, just a new normal. A normal that doesn't include many of the traditional breakfast foods because they are high in carbs, and the more carbs you eat, the higher your blood sugar levels are likely to be. So we want your breakfast to be designed around your primary goals of keeping those blood sugar levels stable. And with that list of breakfast ideas we've just gone over, you can see that you won't feel deprived and you really won't get bored. You'll just be enjoying different foods, foods that support blood sugar stability and better overall health. Since we have been talking about protein in this episode, you may be curious to learn more about the primary components of our diets and the foods we eat. So in the next episode, we'll be taking a deep dive into the fascinating world of nutrition, and more specifically, macronutrients. What are they and what roles do they play in our bodies? Enjoy your breakfast and have a great week. Dr. Jeddah, over and out.
Thanks for tuning in to Type 2 Diabetes Talk. Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. And for episode replays, episode notes, and more, visit type2diabetestalk.com. New episodes are available Tuesdays, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or your time zone equivalent. Thanks again. We're truly grateful to be a part of your life and help make a real difference.